It's Thursday, April 23rd, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. And continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. Glad to have you here. Want to give a shout out to some of our fans listening to us out in the South. That's right. Tori from the ATL gave me a call today at the Stash phone line and was interested, enthusiastic, I should say, about getting involved and getting organized in Atlanta, Georgia. Well, I am very proud to announce today that Georgia Normal is now in effect. That's right. Georgia Normal is now in the house in Atlanta, Georgia. You can get in touch with them through the internet. The executive director's name is David Clark, and the email address is dclark@ganormal.org for georgianormal.org. I assume a website, ganormal.org, will be forthcoming. So come on, Hotlanta, let's get busy in ending adult marijuana prohibition. I've also got a lot of activity brewing up in Northern Virginia. Normal of South Florida is online, and we've got some activists putting together Duluth Normal in Duluth, Minnesota. If you're from one of those areas and want to get involved, send me an email at stash@normal.org. Or if you're not in one of those areas, send me an email anyway, and I'll tell you how you can get people involved in helping to end adult marijuana prohibition and stand up for your rights and your freedom. We're also posting a lot of information at stash.normal.org that we can't get to during the podcast, plus some stuff that just doesn't fit in an audio podcast. One of those things is a great video from funnyordie.com called PSI, Pot Scene Investigators. You ought to check that one out on the blog. And our regular guest for today's show, Terry Joyce, won't be joining us today. She's on the road, just finishing up a tour up in Montana, and tonight she's in Pocatello, Idaho. She'll be joining us here in Portland, Oregon over the weekend. So Terry and I and the activists here in Oregon get to spend some FaceTime. That'll be a lot of fun. Also want to give you a heads up for a protest tomorrow in Provo, Utah, being put on by our friends at xcannabis.com. Provo, Utah, tomorrow, 2 o'clock to 4:20 p.m. local mountain time. For more information, check out xcannabis.com. Now, coming up on the podcast today, we've got our hemp headlines with our breaking news story concerning the sentencing of medical marijuana provider Charles Lynch, who was profiled on ABC News 2020, on Reason TV with Drew Carey and numerous other print and media outlets. Also, speaking of Georgia Normal, the Georgia Normal at the University of Georgia has been sentenced to 2 years probation. We'll be talking about that in the news. Rhode Island Senate panel has approved dispensary language for the state of Rhode Island's medical marijuana program, and a mixed martial arts showcase is going to be featuring hemp as part of its sportswear and products. Very interesting there. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, brings you Rockin' Thursday with some music by Kenny Mailer. And then we've got a special audio segment. We're going to first visit with Derek Rosenzweig, who's the co-chair of Philly Normal, to talk about the 420 Freedom Forum that took place this Monday. And then, following that, audio from the Freedom Forum featuring Georgie DeMaria, Miss New Jersey 2006, and now a spokesperson for medical marijuana in New Jersey. want to thank Chris Goldstein, Nick B., the recording engineer, and the good folks at Normal New Jersey and Philly Normal for bringing that audio to us. There's a revolution happening in this country, and we are your source for the latest news and information in the battle to end adult marijuana prohibition. Get ready. It's time for your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. Government recommends prison sentence for former medical marijuana dispensary owner Charles Lynch, from KSBY.com. A local medical marijuana case is getting national attention as the Obama administration weighs in on the sentencing of Charles Lynch. In August, Charles Lynch was convicted on 5 federal counts stemming from his medical marijuana dispensary. He was the owner of Central Coast Compassionate Caregivers in Morro Bay. Lynch is facing between 5 and 100 years in prison. A judge postponed his sentencing last month after the Justice Department said it had no plans to prosecute dispensary owners who operate within their state's law. The government is recommending a prison sentence of 5 years plus 4 years probation. Charles Lynch faced his sentencing today and will have full coverage on tomorrow's Stash, but I still want Stashers to call President Obama at 202-456-1111. And Attorney General Holder at 202-353-1555, and let them know how you feel about federal intrusion into state medical marijuana laws, and that you expect both to keep their promise to let the states regulate their medical marijuana programs. Incarcerating Charles Lynch serves no useful purpose to the United States. Justice is not merely weighing actions against statutes. Justice is seeing fair application of the law. We don't write laws to harass and punish people. We write laws to protect and serve people. Punishing Charles Lynch for obeying state law will not win the drug war or even deter the next dispensary from opening. How tragically ironic that Charles Lynch may be punished by our government for alleviating the tortured suffering of others in a week when we learn that our government was clinically detailed in its manufacturing of the tortured suffering of others. If only Charles Lynch had a memo from the Office of Legal Counsel. Georgia Normal at the University of Georgia gets 2 years probation for political satire. Athens, Georgia. A University of Georgia committee has put a student group that pushes for the legalization of marijuana on 2 years probation for using copyrighted images. Members of the University of Georgia chapter of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws sold t-shirts with a picture of a bulldog, the university's mascot, sitting underneath the UGA arch, which is a protected image. The dog was smoking marijuana and reading a book on human rights. The image was also posted on the group's website. University officials say the students didn't respond quickly enough when the university ordered them to stop using the image. Normal plans to appeal the decision. You're damn right we plan to appeal this decision. You gotta explain to me how a drawing of a bulldog underneath an arch is some sort of trademark infringement, unless All cartoon drawings of bulldogs and arches are now UGA's property. I wonder if the university trademark police visited the Classic City Brewfest in Athens this April 16th. I've got a freeze frame from a video at that Brewfest where there's a gentleman wearing a t-shirt and smack dab in the center back is a logo for the Bulldog Brewing Company. Yeah, the Bulldog Brewery at bulldogbrewery.com, featuring all sorts of Georgia-related trademark infringements. Apparently, those are only a marijuana problem, not a microbrew problem. We reported previously on the plethora of beer and whiskey paraphernalia you can buy festooned with all the Georgia logos, a direct endorsement of alcohol consumption. The "but alcohol's legal" argument doesn't really fly when you're selling shot glasses with marks reading freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, and most freshmen and sophomores at the University of Georgia are underage. Plus, in America, we have this little First Amendment thing that says it's okay to politically satirize institutions, even using their own logos and trademarks. If McDonald's can handle their arches being parodied for a marijuana logo, certainly Georgia can handle their arches being parodied. Georgia Normal at University of Georgia's t-shirt is not trying to sell a product or imply university endorsement of marijuana legalization. It represents Georgia Normal at University of Georgia's endorsement of marijuana legalization. Can they not advertise their own student group's purpose? Or they can, only so long as they don't make it obvious they're a University of Georgia student group? Do you restrict other student groups from using the hairy dog and arches images in their recruitment? Rhode Island Senate panel approves marijuana dispensaries. Providence, Rhode Island. The Senate Committee on Health and Human Services unanimously approved Wednesday afternoon a bill to allow licensed dispensaries, or compassion centers, to grow and sell marijuana to the 600 patients who currently have the state's blessing to use the drug for medicinal purposes. The bill now heads to the full Senate. A hearing earlier this year hammered home the inherent conflict in the two-year-old state law that allows the sick to smoke marijuana to ease their pain, but provides them no legal way to obtain it. A Warwick HIV patient told the lawmakers how he would make his way, frail and in pain, from his suburban apartment to the streets of Providence in search of a drug dealer, and how, the first time he went, he was robbed. A similar bill was approved by the Rhode Island Senate last year, only to die in a House committee. The governor later vetoed a compromise plan to study the concept. The study commission was to, quote, evaluate patients' access to medical marijuana, the efficacy of compassion centers, and the definition of qualifying medical conditions, end quote, among other issues. As Governor Carcieri saw it, the commission had been created to, quote, move Rhode Island further down the path of weakening the laws governing and public perception of illicit drugs, and create a roadmap for making the state a party to the manufacture, processing, and distribution of a controlled substance, end quote. In his veto message, he also cited a U.S. Supreme Court decision that held, quote, that it is Congress's constitutional responsibility to regulate the interstate drug market, whether legal or not. This ruling puts the individual grower and any future compassion center, regardless of licensing status with the state, at risk for prosecution by the federal government, and I will not stand idly by as the state flagrantly violates federal law for the promotion of an illegal controlled substance, end quote. Governor Carcieri, if the Congress has the authority to regulate the interstate illegal marijuana market, and your state now recognizes 600 patients' right to use cannabis as medicine, isn't the state already flagrantly violating federal law for the promotion of an illegal controlled substance? And aren't you protecting 600 customers of Rhode Island's illegal marijuana dealers? To legalize medical marijuana without a means to acquire it is to subsidize illegal marijuana sales at the state level. You're actually promoting illegal marijuana more by not having dispensaries. International Mixed Martial Arts Expo to showcase hemp. Irvine, California. The International Mixed Martial Arts Expo, or IMMAE, announced today that it will be making a major push to introduce hemp-based resources into its sourcing show, MMA Resource. MMA Resource will be a show within a show, marrying mixed martial arts product manufacturers with various material and service providers. This push to introduce hemp as a viable material resource for MMA manufacturers is part of IMMAE's larger IMMAE Green Project, a push towards environmentally friendly business policy. The industrial viability and versatility of hemp is legendary, with possible uses including rope, thread, lanyard, fabric, and advanced elastics for the production of MMA clothing and gear. Ranging beyond these simple applications, hemp is the main ingredient in one of the strongest wood composite systems known to man. The strength of all wood composites is based on the length of the fiber which that particular wood produces. As an example, a Douglas fir tree produces fibers less than 1 inch long. Cannabis has the distinction of producing plant fibers equal to the entire height of the plant. So, a 10-foot plant is also capable of producing a 10-foot-long continuous wood fiber. When applied to wood composite technologies, this means hemp is capable of producing composite structures as strong as steel and as light as wood. This expands the possibilities of use of hemp in MMA-based industries beyond clothing manufacture to other hard manufactured goods up to and including full-size competition cages and ring structures. This technology does not exist today, but is achievable in the coming years. IMMAE would like to stress that the MMA Resource Show will in no way be based solely on hemp-based products. These products will only be a subset of the resources pushed along with cotton, nylons, and other industrial textiles. IMMAE is simply ensuring that hemp as a resource is properly represented along with all the other resources available today as a viable material for diverse manufacturing methods and products. Imagine the NFL, NBA, or Major League Baseball promoting hemp at any of their events. Try real hard. Try to get all the Budweiser, Coors Light, and Miller ads out of your head for a moment and focus. Try and look past all the Viagra, Levitra, and Cialis ads. I know you can do it. Nope, just wouldn't happen. The big pro sports leagues can't advertise hemp. These athletes are role models for the children. They can't support hemp and put out a confusing pro-drug message.
So here's the deal. We've got this new president who seems really cool. I mean, the guy's well-spoken, he's open-minded, he seems to listen to people, and he's extremely well-educated. I mean, he graduated from Harvard Law School. But this is a guy who's admitted to smoking marijuana, that illegal leaf that just ruins people's lives. How could the president of the United States have ever done such a thing? Maybe because he knew it was less addictive than both alcohol and nicotine, and knew it can be consumed responsibly. But it's probably been a while since he smoked a joint. So if I had one thing to say to Barack Obama about cannabis, it would probably be something like, "Hey dude, I'm one of 80 million people in your country who has smoked marijuana, and so are you." Or maybe I would say over 700,000 people were arrested in this last year for marijuana-related charges. Or something like, "Let's re-examine this law altogether." Or possibly that $1.3 billion is spent annually fighting marijuana, not including the cost of prison management and construction. Or I might just end up saying, "Hey man, you know the facts. Let's fix this mess."
The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your Toker Tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. It's Rockin' Thursday, and we've got a rockin' song nominated in 2008's Marijuana Music Awards, 8th and 10, by popular artist Kenny Mailer. Kenny travels with five other seasoned musicians, and together the band have been playing over 300 shows a year since their formation. The band have toured the East Coast of the United States, Mexico, Canada, and Guam. While playing gigs 7 days a week, Kenny has shared his music with a large number of extremely loyal and supportive fans. Kenny Mailer's debut album, Now, has had almost 2 million plays on MySpace alone. To hear more of Kenny's music, check out KennyMailer.com, that's KennyMehler.com, and MySpace.com/KennyMailer. And registered stashers, you can get an MP3 download of this tune. It's Kenny Mailer with 8th and 10.
To the masses, you take it all in, but it's time for you to go home. Yeah, ready, set, let's go. Now it's time for the show. Whether you wanna know, now we have the place to go in time. You will see me actually not on TV. I'm up for free and I'm getting down. Uh-oh, guess who's back in town? And you can shake, rattle, roll with the sound from the underground. Wood grain gripping on my guama, I be sipping. We could play a game called Just the Tippin'. Slip stitch into puffs, you pass it. I bet you think I appeal to the masses. You take it or leave it, it's time for you to go home. Come on now, slip stitch into puffs, you pass it. I bet you think I appeal to the masses. You take it or leave it, it's time for you to go home. It's time for you to go home. Now I can tell I'm by the rhythm that you gotta back it up a hot second. I will take it from the top, apply your mind, your baby's mama. I got green in my cup, hold up. I grab the keys to the truck. It's only 10 pesos. Now I'm about to tear the shit up. 8 and 10, that's a spot. Meter owns the whole block. Amazing Wilma, silly chili. Can't forget that girl from Philly. I'm out. Catch me walking around when I'm back in town. Slip stitch and two puffs, you pass it. I bet you think I appeal to the masses. You take it or leave it. It's time for you to go home. Yeah, come on. Slip stitch and two puffs, you pass it. I bet you think I appeal to the masses. You take it or leave it. It's time for you to go home. It's time for you to go home. Slip stitch and two puffs, you pass it. I bet you think I appeal to the masses. You take it or leave it. It's time for you to go home. Take it or leave it. I get the hell on. Slip stitch and two puffs, you pass it. I bet you think I appeal to the masses. You take it or leave it. It's time for you to go home. It's time.
.76% of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers, and nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and co-workers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORMA. My name is Keith Strop, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORMAL, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
We're going to be playing some special audio of Georgie DeMaria at the 420 Freedom Forum, but I wanted to talk a little bit more about the Freedom Forum itself. It took place this Monday, of course, on 420, and was a co-sponsored event from Normal, New Jersey and Philly Normal. Joining us here to talk about it is Derek Rosenzweig, the co-chair of Philly Normal. Derek, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
First of all, if people want to get involved with the fight here in ending adult marijuana prohibition in the Philadelphia area, tell them how they can get involved with Philly Normal.
Well, the easiest way to do it is to either come out to one of our meetings. We meet every first and third Thursday every month at the same time and place at the A space, the building at 4722 Baltimore Ave, and our meetings always start at 7:30. That information is available on our website.
All right, and we'll get the links up there to Philly Normal so that everyone can see that information for themselves. And so to further that informational battle here, to get the education out to the people, you guys put on the 420 Freedom Forum. Tell people what this was, where it was, and how did it go?
Well, the normal 420 Freedom Forum was an event put together by Chris Goldstein, formerly of the Daily Audio Stash. He approached Philly Normal and asked us if we'd be interested in helping put this together. And we said, yeah. So we had an event at the National Constitution Center on April 20th. It was from 2 to 5. We had speakers from varied parts of the legalization movement. We had two people from Normal, New Jersey, plus Georgine DeMaria, of course. We had Major Neil Franklin, of law enforcement and prohibition. He gave a great speech. I think audio of that is available up on the internet. Who else do we have? We had Chuck Kwiatkowski, a multiple sclerosis patient who, testified before the New Jersey Senate Health Committee, during the hearings they had, a few months ago. We have Fred DeMaria from Normal, New Jersey, and Davis, who I believe is also an attorney from Normal, New Jersey.
Well, sounds like a good event and a lot of good information getting out there. We're going to be posting some of the audio from the Freedom Forum as the weeks go on, so people can get a good feel for that. How do you feel that this was received by both the audience and your local news media there in Philadelphia?
The audience, I thought they really well received it. I thought they liked all the speeches. I thought they were all great. There wasn't too much local media around. The AP was there, and I believe WHYY, they posted a news article up earlier.
So we're going to listen to Georgie DeMaria here speaking at the Freedom Forum, being introduced by her brother Fred. And Derek, thanks for joining us here on The Stash helping to set up this Freedom Forum. It's a really good thing you're doing out there to help end adult marijuana prohibition.
Thanks. I just hope our efforts pay off.
I have the great pleasure of introducing you to our next speaker. She was a former Miss Bergen County, a Miss New Jersey, 2006, representing our state in the Miss America pageant. And she is also a chronic asthma sufferer. Georgie, as we affectionately call her, because she happens to be my sister, has functioned in the capacity as a spokesperson for the American Lung Association, and she's been an outspoken advocate in asthma awareness for many years. She has testified in front of the United States Congress several times, and she is our newest board member of Normal, New Jersey. Please, everyone, help me welcome Georgine DeMaria, Miss New Jersey 2006.
Thanks, Brad. I love you. Well, bear with me, everyone. This has been certainly a very long journey for me. I remember it quite vividly. I was 5 years old in my pediatrician's office, having great difficulty breathing, feeling as though someone had placed a 500-pound weight on my chest. By the time my doctor's visit was over, I had been diagnosed with reactive airway disease, better known as asthma. Little did I know how greatly this was going to affect my life. Asthma is a common chronic obstructive lung disease caused by an increased reaction of the airways and characterized by airway inflammation and tightness. It affects over 20 million people in the United States, with at least 30 million people going misdiagnosed or completely undiagnosed from lack of education. When your airways tighten, airflow ceases, thus depriving you of oxygen and killing you within seconds. This consequently causes severe distress and panic for the sufferer before ultimate death arises with no rescue treatment. Each asthma attack is a brush with death. The best way I can describe it to those of you who have never experienced such torture is the feeling of drowning. Now, you would never want to drown, but this is exactly what an asthma attack feels like. You are literally a fish out of water. Trust me. No asthma attack is any different from drowning. The path the disease has put me on is a twisting road, and I never know what turn it is going to take. For a while, I had my illness under control with the use of preventative and rescue medications. Unfortunately, however, upon the age of 13, I developed side effects of those medications, not only no longer rendering them useful, but they gave me severe chest pain, causing me to believe I was having a heart attack at the age of 13. Well, that brought on severe chest pain and, of course, the fear that I had no longer had a rescue medication. And no longer having that rescue presented, of course, a serious problem because I was left with no alternative for treatment and nothing to save my life in time of need. Life at 8 years old, believe it or not, became very stressful and overwhelming, and I needed help to cope. I have had to sacrifice many things that I enjoy because of asthma, including a typical education and social environment. My immune deficiency left me with no alternative other than to be homeschooled for most of middle school and high school, and I was frequently prevented from participating in activities. Unfortunately, asthma is quixotic, and treatments are not always effective due to a poor understanding of asthma and its unpredictable nature. Not everyone is supportive, and doctors aren't always able to help you. After much experimentation with dangerous steroid treatments and toxic caffeine remedies, my young body quickly turned into that of a 90-year-old man due to so much wear and tear from totally worthless treatments. After being basically bedridden from the age of 13 to 17, I had decided that I had suffered long enough. Either I was going to get busy living or get busy dying, and I realized, as young as I was, that control had to come from an additional source and that self-help was my only recourse. Finding the ultimate treatment for asthma can take much time and effort because it manifests itself differently in each patient. It is consequently necessary to have as a primary goal the seeking of a proper management plan as well as a supportive management team to address each sufferer's particular maladies while all along training oneself to cope with the debilitating effects, unbearable and frightening aspects of asthma. I'm a person, obviously, who accepts challenges. So I did accept this challenge and turned what would have normally been a negative force in my life into a positive one. My situation compelled me into deep self-introspection, the result of which has been extremely maturing and educational. I informed myself about every aspect of the disease and have been on a very long journey to finding the best possible treatment and management plan for my condition with limited use of medications. I also made it a mission to educate my family, friends, and those in my daily life as to the severity of asthma and the grave importance of their understanding and support. After all, everyone needs an advocate by their side. My life has certainly been far from normal due to my poor health. I was determined, however, not to let my health impair my freedom. I needed to take control of my life. As a result of my outlook, I have accomplished countless tasks. Through breathing techniques and meditative concentration, I have somehow managed to overcome much of the debilitating effects of asthma to pursue my goals. At the age of 17, after I learned to basically live with all those terrible symptoms of asthma, I felt it was imperative for all other asthmatics to know that they are not alone and that this struggle can be overcome. In 2001, I decided to join the fight against asthma by using my personal experiences with the disease as a spokesperson for the American Lung Association of New Jersey. Shortly afterward, I founded my own nonprofit asthma fundraising organization, A Matter of Life and Breath, through which I have raised over $20,000 to benefit research and asthma educational camps for children and programs, and ultimately, of course, to find a cure. When it came time to go back to school after being sick for so long, I was in need of funding in order to attend college. Through research for scholarship opportunities, I realized that the Miss America organization is the largest scholarship provider for women in the world. Since I had already had a talent, having played the violin since the age of 7, and I had a perfect platform of asthma education and advocacy, I entered and qualified to compete for the Miss New Jersey competition, an official preliminary to the Miss America competition. On June 17th, 2006, I'm extremely proud to say that I won the title of Miss New Jersey and traveled the state and country as the representative of the Garden State, teaching all those with whom I came in contact about the great value of their ability to breathe. My status quickly jumped from state spokesperson to national spokesperson for the American Lung Association, specifically for asthma and tobacco control. While spreading the word about lung health to others, especially helping pediatric asthmatics to cope, my own health has remained a great challenge for me, despite my efforts. When I can breathe, I perform perfectly. But when asthma unexpectedly rears its ugly head, I then find myself ill with pneumonia for the 10th time, not being able to drive, walk, or talk. Asthma is frustrating, horrifying, depressing, embarrassing, and far too often fatal. That is why I believe it is so vital to keep asthma and its rising prevalence under control and for all asthmatics to be in command of their disease rather than fall prey to it. I have proven time and time again that once this is achieved, all else is possible. As Miss New Jersey, it is well known that my work for patients' rights is extensive, and my personal story with asthma has certainly served as inspiration for many. However, there is a large part of my life and my treatment for asthma that no one other than my closest family and friends know about. About 10 years ago, my Uncle Tony was dying from cancer and suffering from wasting syndrome. His only rescue was from the debilitating effects of cancer treatments and cancer was the use of medicinal marijuana. It was his success with marijuana's medicinal benefits which initially struck my curiosity to the plant. After asking my own doctor about marijuana's benefits, I learned that when used appropriately, marijuana could actually provide relief for my most severe asthmatic symptoms, as the substance actually serves as a bronchodilator. Under this recommendation, I retreated to a safe environment, a controlled environment out of state, under the supervision of my family, and used marijuana medicinally for the first time via vaporization. At this point, I had been struggling to breathe constantly for 8 months. So when my airways opened up and I got immediate relief from the plant within 15 seconds, needless to say, I was shocked, I was extremely relieved, and so grateful for having finally found my miracle treatment. Unfortunately, though, upon returning to the state of New Jersey, I no longer had access to this medical marijuana due to its illegal status and was forced to continue suffering from asthma every day, knowing very well all along that there is this miracle drug out there to save my life, and I could not by any means have access to it. That was and continues to be the most frustrating, helpless, and hopeless feeling of all. My aim is, and always has been, to educate the general public through continuing to work alongside the American Lung Association, as well as heading my own nonprofit fundraising organization, A Matter of Life and Breath. As Miss New Jersey, I have been an advocate on behalf of the 24 million asthmatics in our country, the diagnosed asthmatics in our country, and I have helped to establish national guidelines for proper diagnosis and treatment of asthma, and I have set national and international standards to improve quality of care. I return to Washington, D.C., as my brother Fred said before, each year to address Congress, encourage federal funding for asthma prevention and research programs, and to promote the strengthening of laws that protect patients' rights. Now, as I travel nationally with my mission to help everyone breathe easier, I am so proud to do so as an active volunteer and member and spokeswoman for Normal New Jersey. I hope that my involvement with this organization and others alike will further my successful work for patients' rights. I believe wholeheartedly that everyone deserves a chance to breathe easier. I cannot stress that enough. And if I have my way, certainly everyone, at least in New Jersey, will breathe easier. Statistically, asthma accounts for about 14 million missed school and work days a year, 500,000 hospitalizations a year, and costs our economy approximately $14 billion annually to treat. Its rise in prevalence leads to higher costs each day. Most shockingly, asthma accounts for 12 deaths every day. And these are people who died from asthma episodes when their deaths were completely preventable had they had the access to a rescue drug. One of the key components for asthma control that goes completely unnoticed is pharmacological therapy, under which, of course, marijuana falls. Asthma is a silent epidemic. It cannot yet be cured, but it certainly can be managed, especially if marijuana is made available as an option for treatment for suffering patients. After all, asthma medications are meant to help reduce underlying inflammation in the airways and relieve or prevent symptomatic airway narrowing. Marijuana is now known to be an effective bronchodilator, making it useful as a rescue medication for asthma.